from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's the best day of the week. James Hamm there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. And we're hanging out with you until noon. A smorgasbord of stuff to get to on this Thursday. I'm turning on this Olympics channel every morning when we get in here.
Okay.
I think it's Hungary against Italy. We got some women's handball. I'm like, yeah, I'll watch that. This is the slowest time of year for sports. There's baseball.
Yeah.
The NBA offseason is done, save for Orlando Robinson. Salute. The NBA offseason is for the most part done. NFL training camps have just gotten started. So we'll talk about some of the takeaways from early in training camp. But So when we get Summer Olympics, yeah, man, I'm going to watch some handball. I just need competition, especially since handball is a super fun sport.
Yeah, I need to watch handball because I don't know handball as a sport. I don't know, like, the rules.
Yeah, I think you can only take, like, X amount of steps before you either get the ball.
It seems pretty loose, like how many steps you can take. I don't know. This is intriguing to me.
Yeah, it's soccer, but you're throwing the ball around.
Yeah, and the buildup is pretty crazy. Yeah, so people are taking more and more steps. I don't understand the rules here. I'm going to have to have...
Wikipedia this.
Somebody needs to come on and explain handball to us.
My buddy Tony, who I worked with down in Arizona, mm-hmm. is a broadcaster. He started out just with Notre Dame, but now he does some stuff for NBC. So he's actually in Connecticut doing some Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
And I hit him up. I was like, bro, this is awesome. What are you doing out there? And he's like, women's field hockey. I was like, I have so many questions. So he's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Okay.
And we're going to ask him about broadcasting the Olympics and broadcasting sports that are not in the mainstream in the United States.
Yeah, so I have a friend named Perry who works for NBC part-time and works, like, he's an audio guy.
Mm-hmm.
He actually gets he's sent all the way to the Olympics. He's done a ton of
Olympics.
Oh, that's
awesome. What sport does he do?
He's the audio guy. He's one of their guys.
So he has to be there.
Yeah, so he'll work, I don't know if he'll work a truck or if he'll work, like, you know, putting audio equipment on a player or on a broadcaster or whatever, mm-hmm. who's there live and making sure that all their levels are right and all that, mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
So, but he's done it for years. He's got to go to all of them,
cool.
I don't know, 9 or 10 Olympics. So shout out to Perry.
That's so freaking cool. Salute to Perry. And shout out to everybody who works to put these events on, because it takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of time. And man, handball is super fun. She just fired one over the goal. There's a net behind the goal.
Oh, what a grab.
And it's just
grab.
In play. Oh my God. What an incredible sport. Anyways, we're not gonna play by play handball.
This is wild.
My wife and I watched one of my favorite movies last night.
Oh.
That she had never seen. because we're doing this 52-week movie challenge with our friends.
Oh.
Where we each got this book that has 52 categories in it. And our friends randomize it and they pick a category and they send it and we watch a movie based on that category.
Okay.
We all watch different movies. We don't watch.
You're not all watching the same movie. So it's,
yeah,
not like
sometimes
a book
we
club.
Do on accident, but yeah. Not like a book club.
Okay.
And then when we hang out with our friends, because they live up here in Sacramento, we live down in the Bay Area. So when we get together for a shindig, we'll just discuss like, hey, what have you guys been watching? What have you liked? What have you? And it just kind of opens a conversation. Ton of fun. Highly recommend doing this.
I would like you to at least tell me what movie you guys are watching so I can tell you if I've seen it or not.
Okay, great. Yeah, I will. I will get the list and we can do that tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll run through every single movie that we've seen. So last night, we're a little bit behind, so we're trying to play catch up right now.
Okay.
But we watched, it was, the category was a sports-related movie or movie related to sports or whatever it was. So we watched Miracle.
Okay.
The Disney movie with Kurt Russell about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team.
Of course.
Yeah, what a film.
Yeah, oh no, it's fun.
She wasn't a big fan. She didn't love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she said she enjoyed it for a sports movie. Sports aren't her bag. She said she enjoyed it for a sports movie. I was telling her all about, because I used to be obsessed with the movie Miracle.
Okay.
You know, I've never seen any movies. It's because I've seen Miracle 175 times.
It's not one that you can just sit here and quote and people go, oh, that's from Miracle.
And among my group of friends, you can. Oh, dude, we get rolling. Like, why'd you want to play college hockey? Like, dental? Isn't it obvious for the girls? I'm serious, Coxie. Why'd you want to play college hockey? I wanted to go to the NHL, just like everyone. Well, I wanted to win a national championship. And that pansy over there cheap shots me. I get tossed out of the game. He steals the ring right off my finger. How would you feel? Yeah, anyways, so seen it a million times. Love it. And
that's
so
funny.
So I've done, dude, keep in mind, this movie came out when I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
It might have come out when I was 13, but when I was watching this in earnest on DVD, I was 14, 15 years old. So I got into the DVD commentary and all that, like Buzz Schneider in the movie is played by Buzz Schneider's kid.
Oh.
Because the way they did the casting for this movie was they went, hey, it's going to be easier to teach hockey players to act than teach actors how to play hockey, because the director was like, the action scenes need to be right.
Yeah.
We need to get the hockey right. That's all that matters in a sports movie. If your sports scenes are good, you're going to have a much better product.
Mm-hmm.
So they went, we can teach hockey players to act. We cannot do vice versa. And so they just had hockey tryouts basically.
Okay.
And then brought in people for casting interviews and stuff like that. And the guy sits down and he said his last name is Schneider. And the guy goes, oh, like as a joke, goes, oh, you're related to Buzz Schneider? And he's like, yeah, it's my dad. And so that's how he got the part.
Wow.
And then there's all these other little things. So I was telling her all about that. And she really enjoyed that aspect of it. All the little fun facts. But was not a huge fan of Miracle overall, which is fine. We're going to stay together. But it was a tough beat for me last night.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
We do have like, I'll watch TV upstairs. My wife will watch TV downstairs, like her shows, my shows.
Sure.
Our sons are in their rooms watching their shows. Yeah, we all have different shows that we watch. I mean, sometimes we watch shows together, but we also, like, I've seen everything. My wife won't. She's not into, like, war movies or super action movies and
sure.
all that stuff. So,
sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because between my commute and then the other writing and stuff I do, I spend a lot of time like, in my office. So the TV time is like, hey, here's the time we can spend together.
Yeah.
We're going to eat dinner. We're going to watch some TV. And that's just kind of what we do. We have our shows that we watch. We do our movies. But my wife is big into the like reality stuff.
Oh,
Love Island, UK and US. Although the Australian version is really good too. the various Housewives.
Oh.
So she's on Housewives of Beverly Hills right now.
Okay.
I got to tell you, not my bag, like not my cup of tea
no.
where I'm going to lock in to Real Housewives, particularly when she's watching it. I'm typically watching, you know, a basketball game or a baseball game or whatever. I got that on my second screen. So I'm not super locked into these shows, but I got to tell you, dude, I get it.
Yeah.
I get why these shows are so popular.
I know. Like a lot of them are, they're just so over the top. Like we watch Survivor and we watch Amazing Race forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably need
good
to
shows.
Get back into the Amazing Race. But we like to travel. We like the speed of it and all that stuff. But at the same time, like like The Bachelorette and stuff. I can't
do that. I tried.
Can watch like a couple, like, this is bad. Like, oh, I don't think I like that person. I'm out.
Yeah, dude, that's what gets me with these reality shows is when it's a television show, when it's Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon or whatever.
Yeah.
When it's a show like that, I can understand that Daemon Targaryen is a character in the show. Matt, what's the guy? I forget the actor's name he plays him, but he's a brilliant actor. I can understand that that actor is not Daemon.
Yeah.
And I can feel a way about Daemon Targaryen that is separate from reality.
Yes, of course.
Right? Like, it's the character. With the Housewives, when I'm out on a person, it just turns, because it's them. It's them. That's the human that's on the TV.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh. I'm out on that person. My mind can't go to the place where I'm like, that's a character.
Oh.
On the TV. It's just, I don't like this person. I don't want to watch this person do anything anymore.
That's interesting. You know,
that's
where
I get.
Like, when you're watching Survivor, I think this last season, they had this this character that, you know, and again, it's real people, who had like one of the biggest transformations like over the course of the season that I think I've ever seen on the show, where they were so unlikable in the beginning.
Mm.
And then slowly they realized that they were very unlikable and that no one wanted to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked on self-improvement while they're there. And by the end of this show, you're like...
And what show was this?
Survivor. By the end of the show,
incredible.
You're like, you know what? I'm okay with her now.
See, and right, but at least with Survivor, there's like a competition aspect to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. Like, I'm not into Survivor, but if you said to me, hey, I really want to do a bit on the show where we talk about Survivor every day.
Okay.
I want to do a bit where Survivor is a sport and we're going to break it down like a post-game show. Great. Okay. I will dive in. I will watch Survivor. I'm not like anti. It's just not a thing I do. So, never mind. I'm not going to make that comparison.
Okay.
It's just not a thing I do. So,
no, that's fine.
Yeah. Anyways, reality TV, am I right?
Yeah. I've had to cut back on the reality TV. Like, I've cut it just down. You know, we used to do like So You Think You Can Dance and some of the singing shows. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're sitting there, you're entertained, but
yeah,
it feels like some of it's so over the top now. And then, you know, I don't have time.
It's reached a vacuum, and we'll talk about sports. I swear to God, but it's reached this like vacuum of. Reality TV is not just, oh, hey, here's this wacky thing. We're going to put a camera on it, because that's why there's so many of them. They're so cheap to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, hey, for 90 Day Fiancé, we need these two people. We need a producer. We need a camera person. We're going to send them to wherever in the world or wherever in the U.S. or whatever country, and they're going to go there, and they're just going to film people doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it's super cheap to make, and they make a ton of money on them. So yeah. I get why there's so many of them, and I get why they're compelling to people. But I just, when there's no, like Survivor, it's at least there's a competitive aspect to it.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like a game and there's strategy and there's interpersonal conflict, but it's all within the scope of, hey, they're chasing this.
Yeah.
Whereas with, and I guess it's a little bit the same with a show like Love Island, but there's not the...
Yeah, but there are so many detours that happen.
Right. It's not so you can make the argument like, yeah, they're playing for $100,000, and they tried to make it where, okay, Jim and Sarah wind up together winning. They're the winning couple. They each get an envelope. They open the envelope. One of them has $50,000 in it. One of them has nothing. And the person has to decide, okay, do they keep the $50,000 or do they split it with that person?
Mm.
And they split it 100% of the time. So it's not even compelling in that way.
Oh, yeah.
You're just watching. So, yeah. Anyways.
Wild.
TV. Where are we at?
I did.
What do you want to start with?
I did start my throwing program yesterday.
You did. We don't have a confirmed date yet.
Well, we don't have. I've got a week to 10 days.
You've got good idea. You've got a good idea
of when I might throw out a first pitch. Yes.
Okay, but it's not okay. But we can't. We don't want to start telling people because we don't know for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So for
as soon as soon as we know, though, you guys will know.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, I had a shoulder impingement early in the year where there was times where I couldn't move my arm at all.
Can you briefly explain what that is?
Yeah.
Is it a pinched nerve?
I slept on my shoulder and I don't know.
Is it a torn muscle?
It wasn't a torn muscle, but basically I was getting shooting pains from the front of my shoulder all the way down to my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't put on a button-up shirt.
Ouch.
I couldn't reach back to put my arm in a sleeve. And then I had to go to physical therapy. And, again, I played softball for 18 years. I played volleyball for years and years. Played high school football, all kinds of sports forever. And it just kind of caught up to me. So, Kyle got his opportunity to throw out a first pitch last week. And there's one that, there might be a date in the future where I get to do that as well. But my shoulder's trash. So I went out front and in front of the house. It was 106. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. For some reason, the 106 felt okay yesterday. And I just started throwing the ball back and forth with my oldest. We had a catch.
I love that for you guys.
Yeah, it was cool, except for it's when I realized as a father that I've let my children down. My son,
how?
He played soccer forever. So we started with Little League, right? So, and I coached Little League, and all of my players and all the parents, we had a great time. They loved, everyone asked to come back every year. For 3 years we did it, except for my son. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to play at all. Every single practice, he was the last one to step on the field. He would forget his glove. He didn't want to be there at all. So we stopped playing baseball, and we started playing soccer. And boom, he loves it. He has a great time. He meets his whole friend group, and now he's a soccer player. But then I realized that, I grew up playing wiffle ball with my brother all the time. Baseball, wiffle ball, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And then I played soccer, and I played football, and I played basketball. I played every sport imaginable. And that's not what kids these days do. So I go to throw with my son, and here I am with no arm left at all, but I'm hitting him in the glove every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's throwing it over my head. And I'm like, this is my fault. This is my fault. So yeah, I've got to work on this, making sure that maybe not this generation, but the next generation, if my sons have kids, I will be there to make sure that they're playing multiple sports, because this concentration on one sport thing is really, really strange.
So I have so many takes on this. Shoulder impingement, by the way, is when rotator cuff tendons in the shoulder get pinched.
Yes.
That sounds horrible. I never want that.
Did you see the one day where I hit my arm on the door coming out?
No, I wasn't here for that. I heard all about it, though.
It was bad.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. That sounds terrible. Yeah. There's a lot to unpack. I don't think this is on you as a parent, because you, and I get what you're saying, and I get that it's a little bit tongue in cheek, but if a kid goes to play baseball and doesn't like it, the bad parenting move is forcing that child to continue playing a sport they don't like.
No, that's true.
That's the messed up thing. If this kid played Little League and was like, "Mom, Dad, this sucks," and then you're like, give it one more year and we'll try it," and he's like, "Hey, this sucks. I hate it. I stand out in the outfield and I bat last and I don't get hits, and I don't like the sport. This is not a fun time."
Yeah.
Then the worst thing to do is going, "Well, you're gonna keep doing it then." So I don't blame you there. And like you said, he found a sport that he likes. He found a thing that he likes.
Oh, totally.
That was not drugs. or some other bad thing.
Weird vice.
Could have been doing anything. So no, I don't think that's on you or your wife as parents. You guys didn't do anything wrong. I am shocked. This is the second aspect of this. I am shocked at how many people, because just in the scope of a first pitch, you see over the course of an MLB season, you'll see what? Half a dozen first pitches go viral for how bad they are.
Oh, yeah.
And it is stunning to me, particularly with athletes, professional athletes, how many of them throw a baseball like they have feet for hands.
Oh, yeah.
It is stunning.
It's jarring. to see somebody who looks like they don't know how to throw a ball at all.
Yeah, right. I don't know if Jason Tatum can throw a baseball or not, but you'll see a player like Jason Tatum who just looks like an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that guy don't know how. And they just, it's like they step with the wrong foot and their arm angle is all way over here. It is jarring to me.
Yeah, I think it's funny too, because when you go out and play softball, you go, you know, you throw the ball, you can tell someone who played a lot of Little League or a lot of baseball.
Yes.
You just see the way that they move their glove, mm-hmm. the way that they're, you know, they like cradle, you know, the catch and, mm-hmm. you know, like they know how to.
They're not stabbing at the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the same thing, like when you go play volleyball, like it doesn't matter how old I am. I walk out there and I look like I've played a lot of volleyball. Mm-hmm. It's like I can set, I can. You know, like
sure.
when you're the stance you get in, like everything, you're ready.
Congratulations, by the way.
But
proud of you.
I'm just saying, like there are certain sports that if you played a lot of, you just look like that player.
Yes.
That you can actually handle yourself. And then when you get to a point where you're like, oh no, that doesn't mm-hmm. look right. That doesn't feel right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think it is with like some of these athletes who step up. And why aren't they like doing what I'm doing? Like if I'm going to have to do this and I'm going to like make sure that I don't embarrass myself, like you would expect that someone would at least go down to like down to a sporting goods store and buy a baseball and like, hey, I'm going to at least throw like 40 or 50, you know, pitches to see if I can get it near the plate and try to hone in on something.
Yeah. Maybe they don't care.
I guess.
Maybe they're like, hey, here's this thing. Because if you're Victor Wembanyama, or whoever, which I blame less because he grew up in France. But if you're I'm trying to think of an athlete who had a bad, if you're Debo Samuel,
yeah,
which oof, and you know you it's probably just a thing on your schedule. Like I've got to get up, I've got this workout, I've got this meeting, I've got this call with this sponsor, I've got to go to this charity thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta go to the Giants game, I gotta do this signing, okay, then the first pitch. Like you're probably not like you're not agonizing about it like I did.
No, but I would still think it would pop into your head that like you don't want to embarrass yourself and
no,
maybe
but,
just don't think that you would, but.
But yeah, maybe you played Little League.
Yeah.
And you went, I'm an athlete. Like you're Debo Samuel, dude. You've been an all-pro wide receiver in the NFL. Some of the best athletes in the universe and you're just the best one.
Yep.
Or one of the best ones. And so you're going, yeah, I played baseball in Little League. I know how to throw a football. This is going to be easy.
Yeah.
I'll get out there and I'll do it. And then you're just, the mechanics are so different. Like there's a whole thing to it. I'm floored. I'm floored by it. Like I said, more with professional athletes than a random guy who owns a business who got to throw out the first pitch because they bought a sponsorship on the outfield wall.
Mm.
If that guy can't, okay. Like whatever. Maybe he played soccer,
yeah.
or football or something else. But pro athletes, that's just...
No, that's kind of crazy. I'm with you.
So what's your... You started a throwing program because, look, I made it a whole bit. When I was throwing out a first pitch,
yeah.
you're going to get the same treatment. No date yet, so don't mark your calendars just yet. But you've started a throwing program.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. So you 40 throws last night?
Yeah, it was probably around 40 throws.
Okay. You going yep. day off today?
You're gonna, I'm going to see how it feels. If
point,
it feels
pause.
Okay, I'm gonna try to probably keep it at that number.
Okay.
Then I'll probably take a day off.
Okay.
And then I'll probably try to bump it up.
Sure.
I found that throwing my elbow was more problems than my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing that I was like, oh, that's probably going to be an issue. But
yeah.
but eventually, again, it was warm, so everything broke loose pretty quick. And I'm like, okay, I can do this.
The thing to remember, too, is you're doing this. You're only throwing one time.
Oh, I know. I'm going to have to throw like a bunch of times in the parking lot before I go throw it one time.
Yeah. So, hey, here's where I didn't get screwed on this, but Zach Beirutti, the Rivercats broadcaster, came on the show on that Friday and said, like, there'll be someone down there to warm up with you. I was like, awesome. Well, when I asked them that, the cat crew, is that
okay.
what they're called?
Maybe.
Their promotions team, who did a great job, by the way. Salute to everybody on their promotions team. They were awesome. And both in game, before the game, great staff. I said, hey, is there someone I can warm up with? And they kind of like all looked around at each other like, no. And Bradley, I think is his name. His name is going to be Bradley. He went, I've got a glove and a ball in my bag. If you want to just go out. It's like, great, can you throw? He's like, yeah.
Okay.
Like, great. So I got like half a dozen throws in before security kicked us out.
Yeah.
But it was, no, it's fine. So yeah, if you throw in the parking lot beforehand, just get a little loose. Are you going to throw from the mound?
That's a good question, because I don't know if I can find, I guess I could probably go down to the high school and throw off the mound.
You don't have, it's not a, you don't have to figure that out now.
Okay.
You can decide that in the days.
Like when I walk up there, like, oh, I don't think I'm going off the mound. All right.
It's super high. It is so high.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like it would throw you off.
Yeah, a little bit for sure. Especially since I had thrown off the mound at the park beforehand by my house.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was maybe a quarter of the size.
Oh.
It's a lot.
That's wild that the mound is so high.
It's gorgeous, though. Like, it's perfectly flat.
Well,
like it's like a ramp.
Yeah, I think Major League Baseball, I would love to, like, Oakland. The grass in Oakland has always been the most amazing thing of all time. The infield, everything is always so perfect until the Raiders would come in and just destroy everything. But I'm intrigued to see what Rivercat Stadium's going to look like next year. What Sutter Health Park, what they're going to do to the field, you know, whether it's the turf or whatever. And they might not be able to do the turf thing. I don't know.
That's so...
I always wonder too, like,
they might.
It always looks perfect. Like, why are you going to mess with that?
The playing surface is great.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place to play baseball.
Yeah.
I think the turf idea at Sutter Health Park next year is a bad idea. It might be a necessity.
Yeah.
The grounds crew at Sutter Health Park might have been like, because a AAA schedule is 150 games, something like that.
Well, but they're going to do both. No. That's the problem. They're going to have AAA and Major League Baseball games.
Yeah, I was getting
it. So you're going to have twice as traffic.
Correct.
Yeah.
So let's call it 75 home games for the Rivercats.
Yeah.
And then 81 for the A's. That's 156 games on one playing surface over April, May, 5 months, 6 months?
Yeah, that's what I think that's where we're missing the component we're missing. Like, oh no, they're both playing there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm guessing the grounds crew probably said that is untenable.
Well, they said that they're going to put like some sort of sprinkler system in that would cool the field, that there's a way to do that now, but I still don't know, because turf just, like, it does get way hotter, and it depends on what you're mixing in the turf, whether it's like the ground-up tires, which they're not doing as much anymore. They're usually doing cork now, but I don't know what they do in Major League Baseball stadiums. So, yeah, if you do the... like the ground up tire stuff, when it gets hot,
it's gross.
It can, not only is it like 140 degrees on the playing surface, but the fumes coming off of that is
like dangerous,
very, very unhealthy. And there's studies that have been done. It's strange, but it's with female like high school keepers, goalkeepers, because they dive on the ground and they're near, you know, they're closer to the fumes more often. There's like cancer spikes in teenagers because of the playing surface. So
that's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm intrigued. I want to see what happens. I'm sure it's going to look beautiful either way, but it's whether it's a playable surface or not.
Yeah. We'll see.
Lawrence Butler's like, nope, I don't want to be anywhere.
Yeah. Lawrence Butler learned, the San Francisco Chronicle asked him about playing on turf. A's outfielder Lawrence Butler. And that was the first he was hearing about it.
Oh yeah.
And the Chronicle said there were like four other players who hadn't heard that they were playing on turf yet.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. And Wheezy here says, Eric Burns said he thinks Sacramento will sell out every game. I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, hope so.
Yep.
All right, we got to take a break. We've got a little bit of Kings to get to.
Yeah.
I told you I texted my friend who's a Heat fan.
Mm-hmm.
About Orlando Robinson to get his thoughts, because sometimes the best thing you can do is ask a fan what they think to get a vibe.
Yeah.
He texted me back after the show yesterday.
Oh.
We will get to his answer direct from the source, a fan of the Miami Heat telling us about Orlando Robinson. You're not going to want to miss that. The 49ers reporting to training camp yesterday. We got some interesting notes, not only from 49ers training camp, but a couple other training camps across the NFL, including some news that indirectly impacts the 49ers. We'll tell you what that is. Plus, this peanut butter and jelly argument that I got into on the internet. We need to discuss it here, because that's what we're going to do on this July 25th edition of The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
First hiccup I've had in a while on a rejoin. That's fine.
Oh.
Yeah.
These things happen, Kyle.
Yeah, James is there. Kyle's here. I didn't put in our built-in rejoins.
Oh.
So that's why I was thrown off. I was like, why did the commercials just stop? But it's because I didn't put the music in. It's okay. I got offered a trade last night in fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a dynasty league. So I joined a dynasty league that was already running. They've been running for like 10 years. I think last year was their 10th or 11th season. And one of their OG players dropped out and my buddy needed a replacement. So he said, hey, do you want to take over this team? I said, yeah, that sounds like a great time. So I started this dynasty league. Well, because it's a dynasty league where you cut, I think you have to cut. Oh no, I'm sorry. You don't have to cut anybody. But if you use a draft pick, mm-hmm. you have to clear a roster spot to add that draft pick.
Okay.
So you can draft rookies or players who are on the waiver wire.
Hmm.
So like last year, was his name Justin Ross, the receiver for the Chiefs, was not on a team at the end of the prior season, so he was available to draft.
Okay.
And so like I drafted him in the third round. Didn't work out. So because of this format, you can trade picks. You can do deals like during the off season. So I got a text last night from my buddy who's in this league, who said, I will give you, because I picked seventh. He said, I'll give you the eighth pick and Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the number seven pick.
Oh.
I'm out. Clyde stinks, bro. Clyde is not a fantasy player that you want on your club.
Yeah, because they're going to go with, who's the guy? Oh, Pacheco. Yeah. So you're going to have a lot more Pacheco there.
Yeah, and not to mention, Clyde's just not good.
No, you're right. You're very correct there.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, yards from scrimmage. I'm going to do yards from scrimmage and total touchdowns. This isn't just rushing. This is rushing and receiving. Since his rookie year. 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, feel good about that. The next year, 646 and 6 touchdowns. The next year, 453 and 6 touchdowns. Last season, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Chiefs running back, 411 total yards in 15 games. He scored 2 touchdowns.
Oh, no, I don't want him on my team.
He had 87 touches.
No.
That's a waste of a roster spot.
Yeah. That's
tough.
To
move backwards in the draft, I don't want it.
Especially for a player who plays in one of the greatest offenses that there is, and you couldn't find a way to find your footing, and like
as a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want... I'm out.
I'm so excited about our Fantasy Fridays with Faraz Siddiqui again this year.
Hey, are we going to do a show league?
Like maybe? Yeah. I'm in.
Okay. We'll have to discuss that.
Okay. That's possible.
I think it'd be fun.
I've cut back. Like I've told you, I only do one league typically.
Yes. I did zero until last year when I got in this Dynasty League.
Okay, so my league that I'm in, I think this will be year 32, 33 of the league, and this will be my 35th year playing fantasy football. So, but again, I caution everybody out there. Like, if you're like sort of like losing a little bit of interest, but you have kids, and like get one of your kids to play fantasy football with you. It's like the best thing ever. Like, we've had such a good time, me and my son, hanging out and playing. So.
It's July 25th. I said it was July 24th earlier. Yeah. We can.
I'm here for a league here. Yeah.
A little show league. All right. We'll put a pin in the football stuff for a bit. We'll get to 49ers training camp and some other NFL training camp notes that are pertinent or relevant. My friend got back to me on Orlando Robinson, the new Sacramento Kings center/forward. Because I'm of the mind that sometimes you just got to ask a fan. And what do they think? You get the vibe. If a team makes a trade, if the Kings acquired a player in a trade, and the opposing fan base is like, thank God that guy's gone, you don't feel great about it.
No.
You don't feel very good about it. But when they acquired DeMar DeRozan in a trade, and the other fan base is like, dang. Like, tough to see DeMar go. Then you feel a little better about it. So I wanted to test this with Orlando Robinson. So I text my friend David, who is a diehard Miami Heat fan, diehard Miami sports fan, watches 82 games a year, watches every minute of every game. I said, thoughts on Orlando Robinson. Here's what he said. He's definitely a basketball player. That's what he said.
That's it?
That was the first thing he said.
That's a scouting report? Oh, there's more.
Then he said, nah, but for real. He was just surplus for requirements. Once the Heat drafted Khalil Ware, good back end of the roster, big.
Okay.
Which is about what we said. So we were spot on.
Yeah, there's no guarantee that he's going to, like, well.
Do we even know what the contract looks like yet?
We don't know what the contract looks like. Okay. So I'm going to guess it there's not a guarantee, but like a huge guarantee. The Kings are up against it. So like I was looking this morning and... they're without him, I think they're like $167.6 million, right? In salary for this season, dedicated salary. So 167.6 $167,640,684 to be exact. When you add Orlando Robinson, you're going to take on, because he's got more than 2 years of, well, he is a third year guy. Either way, he's only going to count $2.087 million against your cap. So, but that puts the Kings up at $169 million and almost $169,700,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the luxury tax is like $170.7 million. So you only have like another million, which means you don't really have enough for like a full-fledged other player. You might have enough for a league minimum rookie scale player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So like if they're going to get hit the luxury tax. Now, again, you don't have to worry about the luxury tax till the end of the season, but for today, that's where you're at. And mm-hmm. a lot of things can change between now and the end of the season. But it also, it kind of like puts you up against it.
Right.
Because you can't bring in a 15th player and give them a bunch of guaranteed money or a full guaranteed money without going over the luxury tax as of today.
Okay.
Now, down the road, you might be able to do some other things and clear some space to drop back below. But if you're a team that is worried about the luxury tax, and again, we talked about this the other day, you go $1 million over the luxury tax, you owe the league $1 million for that, and you lose out on the $12 million for being under the cap. So it costs you like $13 million plus the $1 million that the player salary cost you. So you're looking at like $14 million. You go $5 million over the cap. That costs you $5 million for a player, $5 million for luxury tax. That's 10. And it costs you another $12 million because you don't get the luxury tax money. So you're looking at $22 million to go $5 million over the cap. So like these are all to go $5 million over the luxury tax. So they're all things that you have to keep in mind when you're looking at the Kings' salary for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can always try to make a trade where, you know, you don't take back as much money as you're sending out.
Yeah.
And maybe you can do a lopsided trade that actually helps you.
Well, yeah. And if you're going to be doing that, you have to be competing for a title. You have to feel really good about your chances to do that.
I think you don't have to be competing for a title, but like if there's a move that's out there that's going to cost you 10, 15, 20 million, but you're closer to the, it better be the move that like solidifies you where you are or raises your value in the playoffs. If you're not a playoff team, you're not going to be able to make that move right then, I believe, mm-hmm. that puts you back into the playoff picture. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some move, but like the Kings, like this is part of like advanced team building. And once you get to this stage, we talk about who their core is and all that, and you know who the core is. But if you want to add to the peripheral of the core, it's going to cost money. And
right.
Yeah. And so we're also talking that the Kings still have, they have access to their non-taxpayer mid-level at 12.8, but if they, and they're already hard capped, so they don't have access to all of the money. They can only go up to 178 million or whatever it is now because they did a mm-hmm. sign and trade. But they do have trade exceptions. So
let's pause on this.
Yeah.
What is a trade exception?
Okay. So when like trades are considered two different things in the NBA, one is called a simultaneous trade.
Mm-hmm.
And one is called a non-simultaneous trade. So
okay.
Let's just say you have two players and they both have the same amount of salary going in and out. So
okay.
Two $18 million players.
Okay.
You send, so that's a trade that's over and done with right there. It's done. There is no more trade to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically a simultaneous.
That's a simultaneous trade.
Now there's these others that are non-simultaneous trades where you can trade, let's say you send out two $6 million players and you take back a $4.5 million player. So when you do this play, like a $6 million player and a $6.4 million player, let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are looked at as two separate trades. So in effect, you actually traded a $6 million player for a $4.7 million player, and it creates an exception for the dollar. It's basically a coupon for the amount that was over. And then the other player you can get a full-fledged like exception. It's called a trade exception for $6.3 million. And I bring this up because this is exactly what happened with Toronto when the Kings traded Davion Mitchell mm-hmm. and Sasha Vezinkov, they created an exception at $6.3 million. Mm-hmm. So as opposed to having Sasha Vezinkov on your roster still, or having him buy out and then go somewhere else, but again, your cap space dissolves because you wouldn't mm-hmm. have any cap space there. What you did do is you created this little exception where he goes to Toronto. They were able to buy him out and send him packing. But at the same time, if the Kings would have just had him leave, it would have dropped them lower on the salary cap, but they wouldn't have this exception that they can go out and trade. They can, so they can take back a player or two players into an exception that doesn't go over that $6.3 million. They can't combine it with another trade, although you can combine it in a different non-simultaneous trade. So you can have a deal where, again, you have multiple pieces going to multiple places, right? And you can use an exception to absorb a player into your contract, into your salary, because you have an exception. The Kings also created another trade exception.
So real quick.
Yes.
So the trade exception, mm-hmm. let's say the Kings are at the cap, the exact number.
Yep.
But this trade exception allows them to trade, to bring in 16.3 while 10 goes out?
No. A trade exception, what they can do with a trade exception is that they can find a team that has a $6 million player and they can absorb that player into their salary without sending anything out. So it's literally basically just like a coupon for $6.3 million in salary cap, like a holder, like a placeholder. So and that's why they call it a non-simultaneous trade, because you can have a trade that happens later that's mm-hmm. still part of the original trade, because that trade exception basically okay. part of the previous trade exception.
Okay.
Yeah, so as of right now, the Kings could go out and find a $6 million player and absorb him into their salary, go above the salary cap, take him in without giving anything away, and it's legal within the rules of the salary cap because they have this exception.
So if some team is like, hey, we need to get below the first apron and we're $5 million over, here's this $6 million player, they can just give him to the Kings.
Yeah, they can give him to the Kings. And
with the trade exception.
On the reverse side, it creates the trade exception for the other team now, because they didn't send anything out. They sent something out, but didn't take anything back.
That's where the value lies in that.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So even if the Kings are hard capped and they are at whatever, I'm going to say 150. I know it's more than that, but just to have a placeholder. They're hard capped at 150 and they're at 150.
Yep.
They can still absorb that 6.3.
No. Now, because you're hard capped, you can't do that. But the fact is, the Kings are at $169 million. They're hard capped at $178.
Got
so
it.
You have this buffer yes. in between yes. where Got you it. Can absorb more players. Now, they have other options okay. to do this too. Trade exceptions are good for 1 year from the date of the trade.
Okay.
So you can use this all the way up until the first week. Well, the Sasha Vezinkov trade happened at the end of last...
Second day of the draft.
It did, but it happened before the 2024. 425 NBA season started. So one is going to, you can use after the draft, but before free agency. And then when they did the DeMar DeRozan trade, mm-hmm. they shipped Chris Duarte to Chicago, but didn't take anything back from Chicago. So they created another one of these trade exceptions for almost $5.9 million.
And those can't be...
They cannot be aggregated. Yeah. They cannot be stacked. They can't be added to each other. And it's very dicey when you go to, if you go to do like a bigger trade in aggregate. But again, it can come into play where if you have a third team mm-hmm. that's involved in a three-team trade, mm-hmm. you can do what basically Chicago just did, where they took on Chris Duarte and gave nothing away. And the Kings created another, trade exception. Mm-hmm. So that could happen in reverse. Like, so if the Kings were trying to go out and get a big deal done, there's a way in which they could hand out a trade exception to cover part of their expense.
Got it. Jeez.
Yeah, a little wild, right?
Insane. That's totally insane.
That's why I love the salary cap, because it's not just so basic. It's like super complex. And in order to be like... You can think whatever you want about Monty McNair, whatever you want about mm-hmm. Wes Wilcox. Mm-hmm. they're both very, very intelligent men.
Yeah, you have to be.
I mean, these are very, very high-level thinkers, and they have to consider all of this. They also probably have, like, a guy who's there that does their salary cap stuff.
It used to be
Ken Catanella, who was spectacular at the two-year deal with third-year option. That was Ken Catanella's special. He had all of these option years and stuff. The current group, they handle their business a little different, but you can see how their thinking is. If you really pull back and you look at like when a contract expires, you have Kevin Herter for two more years. The day that Kevin Herter's contract expires is realistically the day that Keegan Murray's contract jumps from $9 million to whatever million dollars. So there's all of these mechanisms in place where you're trying to build a team, but you have to think about today. You have to think about how much money you can spend. In this free agent world, you got to think about whether you can go out and bring a player in using a trade exception or not. You got to worry about this whole thing about the luxury tax, and then you got to worry about being hard capped. You have to balance all of these things.
Yeah, it's understanding the butterfly effect of your move.
Yes.
It's okay, here's move A, but that's not just Kevin Herter and X for Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Okay, great, but what are the dominoes that then fall? And that gets us to place X. Okay, but here's move B, and the dominoes that fall, that gets us to place Y.
Yes.
And you're really assessing the X, Y, and Z versus the A, B, and C. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like realistically, when the Kings had, like, they had an opportunity maybe to go out and get Brandon Ingram, right? But Brandon Ingram makes $36 million, right? You had two players in Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes that equaled like $35
million.
It's almost a perfect swap, right? But the other thing you have to think about is that those two players that you have, they're under contract for 2 years. So it's basically a wash. You're trading two players that equal $35 million for one player that's $35 million, $36 million. But if you were to resign Ingram and keep it around that dollar amount, basically it's a net neutral trade, right? So you're not blowing up your cap long term because you gave up these two pieces that were under contract for this year and next year. So the next 2 years, it's a total net neutral trade. That's now that you don't have Harrison Barnes to trade in that. It becomes a lot more complex.
Right.
Because if you take a Kevin Herter, $17 million, $8 million of Trey Lyles, that's $25 million. Add in, if you wait 60 days, add in Jalen McDaniels. Mm-hmm. Now that's another $4.5 million. You're at almost $30
million. Yeah.
You're trading three, and you're taking back an additional $6 million. And so it's impossible to backfill. It's not impossible, but you're going to have to pay the tax.
Yeah.
He also puts you over the tax already going from, because you're adding $6 million extra in salary. So you have to look at these things, like every move that you make impacts the next move.
Yes.
And it's why Lauri Markkanen is talked about so much, and it's why Kyle Kuzma is talked about so much, because their salaries are, again, Lauri Markkanen makes $18 million. You could trade him straight up for Kevin Herter, and it's basically a net neutral trade. Now, they're not doing that, but you have to, that's what the dynamics of that. So right now, that's fine. But then when you have to go pay him next year, and he makes 30, say he wants 40, you got to come up with another way to, like, that $24 million difference in what you traded and what now you, the player that you have, it becomes a lot more complex.
Yeah.
Where a guy like Kyle Kuzma, 23.5, 21.5, 19.5, locked in over 3 years, you know exactly how much you're paying him, and you can build your salary structure around it, just like you can DeMar DeRozan, just like you can De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, just like you can Malik Monk. You just lock Malik Monk up for 3 years, 4 years with the third year with a player option. But you understand exactly how much he's going to cost you and how you can build the rest of your salary structure.
I feel so vindicated on Brandon Ingram, by the way. I feel so good about how this went. I feel bad for him. Feel terrible for him. I hope he gets maxed out. But when all that discussion was going on, I'm just not a big Brandon Ingram guy.
Okay.
And I haven't been. I feel like it's the idea of Brandon Ingram versus the practicality of Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
And I looked and I went, I don't think I'm maxing that guy. I understand that some team is probably going to. I don't think that's the correct thing. And now the Pelicans don't want to max him, and then they couldn't trade him because nobody wants to max him out.
No one else wants to max him. And that's a problem, mm-hmm. right? It's a problem for the team. It's a problem for the player.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's where realistic... like.
Well, that's kind of where this is all heading, right?
Yeah.
With the way the aprons are now, or with the existence of the aprons.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's like being a luxury tax team is where you're getting into the first and second apron. It hurts a lot more than it did prior to the new CBA.
Yeah.
So maxing out Brandon Ingram now comes with the risk of, hey, maybe he's not that dude.
Yeah.
But it used to be, but we'll pay to see. And now it's, hey, he might not be that dude. And then we're stuck with this contract and we're going to have to make all these moves to be below the second apron. And now what's our team look like because we have a maxed out Brandon Ingram and we can't pay anybody else. So I think that's what we're going to start seeing is players in that Brandon Ingram tier of player
mm-hmm.
where it used to be, yep, max contract. That's just how it is. We're going to see those guys get maxed a lot less.
No, I think you're right. And I also think it's why a guy like Kevin Huerter has tremendous value today and tremendous value in February at the trade deadline.
It's still on the team, by the way.
Well, he is, but you're looking at a player that you can look at as a three-point shooter and mm-hmm. what he brings to the court. Mm-hmm. You can also look at him as a $17 million yeah. like block that you've already committed that money to and you've already fit into your salary cap
mm-hmm.
and you've got his money fit in this year and you got his money fit in next year. So you have a good idea of who he is and what he does, but you can also move that for some other piece that might be different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked to on D'Lo and Casey yesterday. I talked about this. Like, there are no perfect players to fit in right now for the Kings. I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this is why you're always looking at, you know, the games missed by Markkanen and by Ingram. The fact that both of those guys miss 20, 25 games a year. You look at Kyle Kuzma and you're worried about, like, how does he fit in with your culture? Does he really want to be there?
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. So you've got him. You got Cam Johnson, who's like, okay, Cam Johnson's a perfectly fine player, but is mm-hmm. he an upgrade over, like, even what Harrison Barnes brings? But if you have Cam Johnson, what would that allow Keegan Murray to become? If you have Kyle Kuzma,
mm-hmm.
how much could he stunt the growth of Keegan Murray? Like, there's all of these dynamics that you have to come in, that you have to think about when you're trying to build this out.
Sure.
And it can't just be about, hey, I need to get my team better and I'm going to trade this player for that player and everything's going to be fine. Because there comes a point where you can't pay everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a point where one player can really hurt the growth of another player.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be cautious of all that stuff.
Yeah. I was so operating on the idea that Kevin Huerter was being moved this offseason. And now we're trying to figure out how he fits into the rotation.
He might get traded tomorrow and we don't know. And that's the thing. That's, you know, again, like there is an imbalance in this roster and they know that.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to figure out a way to balance it a little mm-hmm. bit better. But that doesn't mean that you're going to go out there and hamstring yourself.
I want to make this clear because I've seen what happens when you write a piece. James is saying that entirely hypothetically.
Yes. Yes.
Just to be very, very abundantly clear.
Well, yeah. I mean, the trade, like, teams can still trade.
Literally any player could get traded tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
From any team.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There is nothing that says that the Kings are done moving. Right. You know, when you hear things like, oh, we're not, this is our core, we're building around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's in the core and who's not? So, yeah, there's plenty of things that can happen still.
No doubt. All right. One of the things that's going to happen is a break. We'll have NFL training camp. We'll have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I feel bad for San Francisco Giants fans. I'll tell you why next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.